This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the first 4 months of this year alone, Malaysia has already seen at least 4 deaths in police custody. Despite calls for the setting up of an independent police commission to investigate such deaths in custody, the government appears to prefer to let the status quo prevail. The only consolation for now is the establishment of the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, the EAIC, whose independence has left many with unanswered questions. Datuk Dr. Gurdial Singh is a consultant lawyer at Srinivasan Advocates and Solicitors. He argues that the safety of the inmates should be a top priority for the police.
The point is that people should feel safe in the custody of police protection, because that's what it is. If those who are remitted to being protected by them and kept by them pending investigations or pending court cases, if they are a threat, serious threat, fatal threat, because we're talking about 19 deaths a month, if we accept the figure given by the government, then there's a very serious question of undermining the credibility in real terms, not just a perception in real terms, of this critical institution, which is the police. So this has to be, I mean, it has been recognized since 2014 when the previous Prime Minister set up the Royal Commission. And it was set up primarily to allay the fears of the public, because the perception was that the police could not be trusted.
He points out that the way the police force is handling the issue at hand raises some serious questions. Although many critics doubt the credibility of the EAIC, he appreciates the investigations that have been done to rectify the situation.
Well, you know, you got a multi-pronged approach to this whole issue. And perhaps that's not such a bad thing at all. I mean, the EAIC, the Integrity Commission, it is headed by someone from the Attorney General Chambers, a very senior officer. Now, they have come up with very credible findings. If you look at Dharmendra's case, shows police complicity at a very high level, involving cover-ups, failure to adhere to police SOPs, you know, standard operating procedures. And actually, the Dharmendra's report, which was released, makes it very clear. For example, the Home Minister says that, you know, we do not know, a lot of these people might be sick already, pre-existing conditions and so on. But then there is a procedure, there's a Rule 10, which requires the police to send a detainee for a medical checkup before his detention commences. Now, the EAIC found that this was not honoured at all. It was breached. But, you know, the IGP takes a very high profile in a lot of cases, and it would be good if he could take a high enough profile in addressing this problem and also express whether he is for or against the IPCMC, which is an independent commission. The commissioners will be appointed by the Yang Diputon Agong on the advice of the Prime Minister. Why is he not rooting for this when he's rooting for so many other things, some of which we find very peripheral to the whole question of law and order maintenance?
Another element that has been put to question is the reliability of forensic pathologists in declaring the cause of death of the victims. Dr. Gurdial explains.
If you look at the case of Bala Murugan, you know, who died this year itself, the first post-mortem report, which is obviously done by pathologists, they said he died of a heart attack, which is not inaccurate, except that what triggered the heart attack. And so they had to apply to court in February this year, and the court approved, allowed them to have a second post-mortem. And I believe that the request for the second post-mortem was resisted by the authorities, which means they did not want this second post-mortem. And to his credit, there was a judge, you know, Azman, who granted the second post-mortem bid on the request of the family of Bala Murugan. Now, the second autopsy that was done confirmed that he had suffered multiple beatings in police custody. So they said that he had suffered multiple injuries to various parts of his body, chest, head, legs, back. And that is what triggered the heart failure. How could the first pathologist have missed something which would have been crying out in terms of its visibility for observation and comment? So there is seems also to be kind of a growing lack of confidence. I hope it is arrested in time of the postmortems that the government conducts. So most of them are professionals and should act professionally. But then there seems to be some doubt as to the findings that they make, which are not inaccurate, but are kind of half-truths.
Tan Sri Razali Ismail is the chairman of the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, better known as Suhakam. He agrees that it is the responsibility of the police to ensure the safety of the people taken in under their custody.
Definitely there is a need to be very clear on what should be done in every case. In the past, one gets the impression that some cases didn't go through the rigorous checks that must be done. I will have to champion and support those that feel that the authorities must be more rigorous in applying this standard operating procedure. If they have not been applied in specific cases, then Suhakam would support proper investigation and making the lapse in that instance accountable. Somebody has got to be accountable for that. Death in custody just should never happen. The moment you take in a person under detention or custody, you have that special responsibility to make sure that nothing will be done to him that way. Custody is not a reason why where you can take a person in and whack the guy. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be.
However, Tan Sri Razali believes that in following the standard operating procedures, the police are bound to use necessary force in order to control the inmates. This, according to him, puts the police in a very difficult situation.
Well, in our discussions with the senior officials in the police, they seem to be very aware of these procedures. And they assure me and my colleagues over and over again that they will bring those people that have violated the procedures to be accountable. But we know at some level, these things still happen. Because you've got to understand also at the same time, it's not easy to take in a guy from the underworld. You're talking about a person who has got perhaps a track record, who's in a gang, and who may have ability to use weapons and all that. He's not going to come nicely, willingly to be taken into detention. He will resist. So in most cases, the police will have to, quote-unquote, subdue him physically. And then all sorts of things are done to subdue the guy. I wish this is not so, but it is so, isn't it? But if you go beyond that, then you're exceeding whatever you're allowed to do, and therefore you must be accountable. You must get these people who are actually doing subdue these people. They must have the safeguards to protect the reputation of the police, but not enough of it is done. We are on the road towards being better. I'm not supporting the police at all, not at all, but you have to admit they're doing things under very trying circumstances.
Dr. Gurdial believes that if the government is not planning to do anything urgent to address the issue, the credibility of the police force might be jeopardised.
So I think unless something is done quite dramatically, then I think the confidence of the public in the police force as the guardians of security and so on could be seriously undermined. And so this is something that the government must take into account on a rather urgent basis, because even as they talk about reforms and the need for CCTVs and medical examinations before detention, more and more deaths are occurring. Just this year, I think there were 3 deaths, if I'm not mistaken. And clearly attributable, in one case at least that I know, to police beatings, because they were horrifyingly, brutally attacked by somebody in police custody. So this has to be addressed on a rather urgent basis, because these are people's brothers, children, husbands, wives, and so on. And it affects us all. Every one death, unnecessary death, is a death too many. And the public must not think that because they are in prison and because they have done, that they deserve it. I mean, that is a completely wrong attitude to take. And you should ask those people whose brothers and sisters and husbands they are, to find out that there is a huge human dimension which is being undermined and eroded by those who are supposed to protect us.
Nonetheless, Tan Sri Razali remains confident with the structure of the police force to provide justice and security for all Malaysians.
Despite whatever violation there may have been, I think the credo of the police force is still professionalism in understanding you are innocent until you are proven guilty. And we must never have tom-tom makuts that go and grab people in the middle of the night. I mean, you cannot have that. This is not the national ethos. They are trying very hard, but at the same time, too many mistakes have been made, and the structures are not strictly observed. For me, the change must come from within. There must be some reforming police chief that understands it. It's not the police chief that just wants to show the law, show the strength of it, and don't the pride of the police to drop and all that. In many, many countries, the reform comes from within.
That was Tan Sri Razali Ismail, chairman of Suhakam. Earlier, you've heard from Datuk Dr. Gurdial Singh, consultant lawyer at Srinivasan Advocates and Solicitors. This is a report by Emir Zainal. I'm Keith Kam for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.